People love doing good. People are good. You just need to give them the chance to do it. Businesses, they want to do good, but sometimes they don't know how to do it. And they also want to involve their employees into doing good. They want to create employee engagement, but for a cause. So we did a campaign to raise awareness about the amount of paper we were wasting. It was millions, by the way, millions of dirhams. I personally love beach cleanups. I can see the direct impact that we're making, but on the beach, honestly, like sometimes you see the animals eating the plastic. There is a lot of greenwashing, and the more that sustainability is on the agenda and is important, the more greenwashing there is.
So top five?
But top five, making toys, planting mangrove trees, beach cleanup, doing good during Ramadan, and supporting children with special needs.
Five of us, we planning to do, or any corporate things to do. Can you give me a ranges?
The biggest one we've done is 1,600 people. They came to Dubai, and as part of their 3 days, they wanted to do some good. Companies for Good. So we help companies do good for the community or the environment.
So what's next? What's the future for Companies for Good?
It's a very good question. And we don't have a plan.
That's a good thing or bad? Welcome guys to another episode. And we carry on our episodes and interviews within sustainability field. I don't think there is a better time right now when COP28 is around the corner. And we're gonna try to interview and talk with the companies that engaging in CSR and sustainability activities. And what does it mean for the corporate region? I'm willing myself to understand the concept of CSR. And is it just a fancy word for charity and donation with a slick marketing communication? Or is it actually drive for good? And today we're speaking with Companies for Good. What they actually do is they're creating a great team experience that's changing the world. What does it mean? Let's figure out what is a company is about and what is it good about. So let's go and check her out. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
How are you?
How are you? Good to see you.
Yeah. How's Thanks for having me. All good.
Most welcome.
So, Companies for Good. I see you branded and everything. What is the companies and what is it good about?
Companies for Good. So we help companies do good for the community or the environment. We bring people together, employees, to make a positive impact through lots of different team activities.
Mm-hmm. And what is these activities about?
Lots of them. So if the weather is nice and you want to do good for nature, we can go plant some trees. We can go do a beach cleanup or a desert cleanup. There's a lot of waste to collect out there. If you want to do good for the communities, we can either make toys for refugee kids. We can go to a center of children with special needs and support them, help them with different kind of skill sets. We can give back to the blue collar community. Mm-hmm. For Ramadan, we do lots of activities to kind of give back.
Okay.
So yeah, lots of different things.
So everything around sustainability?
Yes, it's about putting sustainability into action.
Okay.
So helping people like kind of raise awareness about how important it is to live a more sustainable life, but not just talking about it, like getting there, doing it.
All right. And yeah. Today where we are? Today I can reveal straight away we are in bank facility?
In a bank facility, yes. We are in the main building of Standard Chartered Bank in Dubai, downtown, because we have a group of employees from Standard Chartered that are making cute little penguins, toys, that we're going to be sending to a refugee camp.
All right, where about?
In north of Iraq, in Kurdistan. Okay. There are lots of kids there that unfortunately they have been through a very difficult situation. When they had to flee from home, their parents took the bare minimum, like money, documents, maximum a few clothes. No toys. So for them to receive a toy, first of all, it's something of their own, which is super important to have something to hold on. That's mine. Second, they know that somebody else out there has spent time thinking about them. So it brings hope, it brings kind of like, it spreads love. But also even more important, toys are super important part of kids' development. Mm. Yeah, playing sparks creativity, communication skills.
Creating roles.
Creating roles. And it helps them forget about the reality they live in. They're playing. So we're giving these toys to them so they can play and they can have a good time.
Okay. So you, I believe you invited us here not to show around the fancy kitchen, but more about activity.
Yeah? Shall we go see it?
Yeah, while we're going, you can... So tell me more about... You mentioned a couple of activities, but... So what other activities you do and who you are serving? Who's your customers? Who's your clients?
So our clients are corporates, companies, and the people participating in our activities are the employees of those companies. Mm-hmm. So what happens a lot is that businesses, they want to do good, but sometimes they don't know how to do it. And they also want to involve their employees into doing good. They want to create employee engagement, but for a cause. And so we help them with that. We make it super easy for companies to involve their people into making that positive impact. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you're organizing these opportunities.
Yeah, we are creating the opportunities and inviting companies to be part of it, inviting people to be part of it. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you will see in a second how people, they love it. They have a really good time.
Yeah, I heard it's already crowdy and noisy.
So we are here today with this group of amazing volunteers, about 70 people from Standard Chartered, and they're making cute little penguins. I'm going to show you one. Can I take this one for a second?
Hey, guys.
Yes. See? That's a very cute little penguin. Handmade.
All right.
Everybody's making
one. So this is example or this is somebody made already?
So this is a sample.
Okay, sample.
Yeah, we give all the materials. Before we start, actually, like the team from Skills 3, our partners, they talk about the refugee camps and about the situation of the children that will be receiving these toys. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we put some music on, everybody gets creative, and everybody makes one.
Okay.
Yeah. And how is it going, guys? It's good? Yes? Have you made a toy before or not?
First time.
You have. I've seen you around, yes.
So how do you know how to make it? Do you have a blueprint or? Okay.
Yeah. So the instructions with step by step and all the materials there.
All right. And for example, how many people we do have here today?
We have about 70.
Okay.
Yeah, so they will make 70 toys.
So each makes one?
Yeah, each person makes one. At the end, we're going to put them all together. It looks amazing. And then the toys we're making today with the toys we'll make tomorrow, we are all putting it together. And once we have hundreds of them, we travel to the north of Iraq and distribute the toys.
Okay.
And that's very important to do it in big batches. Because if we go only with a few, some kids will not have.
Okay, so for example, today is 70. It
will be. Yeah.
Do you guys do any check, I don't know, quality check? Because again, it's the toys and the kids.
Okay. Yes.
Sensitive. How do you guys do that?
No, we definitely do that. So before putting them into the shipment, like the team does a quality check to make sure that they're all good. If not, we fix them. And also we share with the team that it's very important to make them similar size. Because otherwise, everybody wants the big one.
Okay.
And they fight.
You don't want to upset the kids.
No. So we try, obviously, like they all look different, which is the beauty of it, that you can personalize. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we try to create them similar.
Gonna grab a sample.
So we can go to another table if you want.
Yeah, we can walk around and bring it. Walk around. So let's see, do you attach some kind of value to it?
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. Now guys are making. Is it not easier to buy? Like, what's the thought process?
Yeah, so first of all, like in a refugee camp, you're not able to buy toys.
Yeah.
And they don't sell them. But the beauty of it is the fact that these toys are handmade.
Okay.
That is the real value. It's people spending time doing something for other people. Mm-hmm. It's not the same to go to a shop and buy a toy and donate it than to spend 1 hour creating it. Mm-hmm. It's very different. The energy you put into it, the love you put into it, the reflection you put into it.
Yeah.
So part of this activity is giving back, and making some kids happy. But a big part of this activity is as well the people that are making the toys. These days, we spend all the time on our mobile phones, on computers. When do we stop and have like an hour of quietness, creativity, doing something with our hands? We lost that value.
Okay.
And that's something that all the volunteers that take part in this activity tell us afterwards, how they loved spending some time doing something with their hands. It's almost like a bit of a, please, it's a little bit of a meditation as well.
All right. So you, it sounds like, you know, you're creating a value or a benefit for the kids, the end users, but as well for the people who are making it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a win-win-win.
All right. How do you know what to do next?
There.
Ah, there is a rules, yeah. And I see you're doing this not first time.
It's
the first time. So which one is yours?
This is mine. This is sample.
Okay.
Oh, you want to do a scarf now?
Yeah,
this scarf. Nice. Look, this one is almost done. You're almost done. Yeah. That's beautiful.
First time.
First time as well.
And what are you attaching? Some kind of label? What is this?
So.
Okay, you're sending a message.
Did you think you would be able to do it before starting? Did
no.
No, eh?
No, I was scared.
See, that's also, so thank you for saying that, because that's also very important. Getting out of the comfort zone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how many times we do something manual and we make a toy? Almost never.
I never did this.
And some people, they did it in school, maybe. Yeah. But for all the adulthood, they haven't done it. So when you sit down and somebody in front of you says, you're going to make a toy, you're like, oh my God, like, no, I cannot do this. You know, I don't know how to do it.
Maximum I can do pancakes.
So we see that a lot, that when people are finishing their toys as well, the first thing they do is they take a picture of their toy and they send it to their
family,
like daughters, their sons and wife, whoever, friends. I say, look what I've done, because it creates pride.
But that could be a problem on the children's or grandchildren's going to request for that as well.
Yeah, you know, exactly. we did this activity with kids. And we decided not to tell them if they were receiving it or not.
All right. The kids made it themselves, yeah.
And then at the end, we told them, look, there are these kids in the refugee camp that don't have any toys, and they would love to receive your toy.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to donate it to them, or you prefer to keep it?
Okay.
Everybody donated.
Really?
Everybody
all the person?
Everybody donated, yeah. We live in a world that sometimes is not so easy, but when you give the chance to people to do it, they want to do it.
Okay. That's maybe a good idea. Not companies for good, people for good.
People as for well. Good, yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Well, companies are people.
Companies are people, yeah. If we can bring it back, the sample to the table that belongs to. So what else, for example, you making it? The toys, the penguin, what else?
So, for instance, tomorrow we have a big activity with 100 people, and we're making care products.
Mm-hmm.
We will be making soap, deodorant, toothpaste, scraps and candles.
Mm-hmm. And this is for?
This is for the blue collar community.
Okay, so locally based.
Locally, for female workers mainly, so women that they left their families behind, mainly in Asia, Southeast Asia. They left their families behind and they're here in the UAE making a living. So what happens is that all their salaries, they send it back home to support their families, and they hardly ever buy anything for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to, you know, say thank you to them for the amazing work they do. We want to give back. So we create beautiful gift bags. They have a flower arrangement, they have a nice note, and all these care products, and we donate it to them. So we go to the labor camp and give it to them. But the nice thing is also like all the process of creating it.
Yeah.
And again, have you ever done soap?
No.
The other?
I use soap, but never,
Do you know how it's made?
No, but I heard it's popular now to start a startup making a soap or something. Yeah.
Toothpaste? Have you ever made toothpaste?
No. Nope.
Lip balm?
I would afraid to use whatever I'm making it. But
so no, I mean it's not that difficult, but we kind of lost a little bit that sense of where products come from, whether it's making toys or whether, because our grandmas used to make toys.
Okay.
Right. So yeah, care products is another one that we do.
Okay. So what it takes as from your company, from your brand, to put event like this? Like, what was the process behind? Because now, obviously, this is like end product, end activity.
Well, the end will be when they receive it, when the kids receive it.
But do you guys travel yourself? Does the company travel? Or how does it work? You work with
our partners travel to distribute these toys. Yeah.
All right, so you have a partner?
So our job is to create the activities.
Mm-hmm.
In partnership with the right people. We sit down with them, we think what could be a good activity, who needs help, how we could help, and we create the activity. And then we offer those activities to companies. So we have a strong network of companies in the UAE that trust companies for good, and they know that we can provide solutions, and that's what we do. We create those opportunities for them to engage their people.
Do you have a number of, let's say, how often you do, or what's the common activity?
This is right now our most popular activity.
Making a toy.
Making a toy for every kid. Like okay. we're doing every day like a couple of events. When the weather is nicer, it's planting mangrove trees.
Okay.
But it shifts. We had a period that there were a lot of beach cleanups. Another period we were doing a lot of, during Ramadan, we were doing a lot of packing events and going to the labor camps. So it depends on the weather as well as the time of the year.
So top five.
But top five.
Toys?
Making toys, planting mangrove trees, beach cleanup, doing good during Ramadan, and supporting children with special needs.
So how many penguins you guys producing a year, let's say? Do you have a number? I mean, today we produced, 70.
Yes, yes. I think, Carla, how many toys we produced so far?
It was about over 2,000.
A year?
So far, since
we started.
Yeah,
so for about a year, year and a half.
Yeah,
2,000. And counting.
And why companies or brands or corporates like this want to participate in these activities? Why are they booking you for the service?
We should ask the client. He's around here. But if you ask me, I think they book us for a variety of reasons. So it's not just a single thing. It's one, they want to engage their employees into doing something. And many companies tell us, like, oh, last year we went, like, you know, bungee jumping or karting. Or,
yeah, okay.
But we felt it was
team
like,
days, yeah.
Yeah, but we felt it was not very meaningful. And also, like, only certain people like certain things, right? Like, for instance, many of their team building activities are very sporty, mm-hmm. right? And some people don't like it.
Okay.
This activity, everybody loves it. I'm telling you by experience, like, it doesn't matter if it's somebody who is really sporty, somebody
active,
who is not
active, yeah.
not, like, any gender, any age, everybody loves it. We never had a person saying, like, oh, I didn't like it. So it's a really good way to do team building, but also it's meaningful. You know that what you're doing has, like, a positive
impact. Yeah.
So I think that's one of the main reasons that companies, like HR people or heads of department, they know that by engaging their employees into this kind of activities, they're creating like a nice atmosphere. They will talk about it afterwards. So that's one of the reasons. But also, like many companies, they have a CSR agenda. Right? They need to do X amount of activities a year or engage a certain amount of employees. So the person who is in charge has the mandate to do that. It's difficult for them to create this.
Yeah, themselves.
Themselves.
They need experience and it's a scale.
Exactly.
Yeah.
People love doing good. People are good. You just need to give them the chance to do it.
Exactly.
And that's what we do. We make it very easy. Everybody has, like, all these people have lots of meetings and work and stuff. But we make it, you know, like, guys, a couple of hours, you will love it. And here they are having a good time.
It looks like, and it sounds that they have a good time, you know, the smiles
and
everything.
Yeah, people are laughing always. They crack jokes, you know.
Which one is your favorite activity? Sorry.
Oh, you're putting me on the spot now.
You have to choose one. Like, which one you like?
I personally love beach cleanups.
Beach cleanup.
Yeah. I personally love it because I love nature and I love being on the beach. And also, I can see the direct impact that we're making. Mm-hmm. With other things, perhaps, is the impact is later on. But on the beach, honestly, like, sometimes you see the animals eating the plastic.
Okay.
But there's a cleanup as well. Like, once we were cleaning over there, and there were like lots of camels eating the plastics that we were cleaning. So you know that by removing it there, you're saving that animal from ingesting it and potentially dying. So yeah, that's one of my favorites.
So whenever it's a beach cleanup, we can expect you as well.
Yeah, I'm always
there. Roll the sleeves and start collecting, yeah?
Yeah, it's like a treasure hunt.
All right. Wow.
I think this workshop has captured everyone's imagination. And I think for the employees, it's a chance to stay away from their table, from their desks. I don't say work is boring, but from their everyday mundane work, and they come and spend 2 hours. So it's as good for the employees as it is for the children.
Okay. Yeah.
They are, to all of us, just a simple toy, a simple penguin, but I can't tell you the amount of joy it brought to the children. And that's what keeps us going. And now we are 2,400 and something and counting of penguins, and we brought a couple of hundred there recently. So they've gone to India, Nepal, the Philippines, and to Kurdistan, Iraq. So we're heading back there in September for work. I'm going to bring some more.
To wrap it up, why do you think it's important for the corporates to do these kind of activities?
You know, the corporates main thing is their bottom line, is what money they make. And that's super important, don't get me wrong. But I think a lot of companies now, especially with the way I think the world is evolving, companies feel they have to also do something for the people and planet. It's what we call the double bottom line, which is...
Triple P.
Or triple, yeah, exactly, even. Or people and profit, or people, planet and profit. So either one of those. If you can do all three, that's brilliant. But at least one of the two other Ps, apart from profit, is super important. But also, a lot of employees now are asking their companies not what they can give them in terms of salary, but what can you do for the people around, what can you do for me, for my well-being, what do you do for the world around us? And I think that's where companies now are really stepping up their game. Yeah.
More companies, the better.
More companies are better, but I think when they see the effect and the impact, they all want to join in. But it's something so simple. It's nothing which requires them to get necessarily dirty or to spend a lot of money. It's about giving time. Actually, time is a lot. It's very precious. And time also tells the children that someone's thinking about them. Mm. So far away that we're making something for them, you know, with love.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, thanks a lot.
Nice, yeah. No, thank you.
Nice talking with you.
Yeah, you as well.
Yeah, Mark, tell me a little bit, like, backstory. Like, where are you from and how did you appear in this region?
I'm from Barcelona, originally. And I was the first 20 years of my life living there. Then I went abroad and I never came back. First it was Canada, then Australia, then London, now here. I came here in 2014 and I came for love. So I basically met somebody who was living here already. And
you followed the love.
I followed her here. And now we're married and have a kid, so it's a nice story. When I came here, I was already in the sustainability field. That's my passion. That's what I studied. I did business ethics, so it's all about how to do business in a way that, you know, in a responsible way, in a way that creates value to society rather than just seeking benefits. That's what really motivates me. Mm-hmm. And so I started working for Childhood Group. Very large luxury retail business.
Heard about it.
12,000 employees all over the GCC at the sustainability team. So trying to help the company be more sustainable in many different ways. We installed solar panels. We did loads of workshops and educational sessions for people to put sustainability into action. Because I'm a big believer that it's people at the end of the day that makes a difference. You can have the best strategy in the world, but if people don't put it into action, it's just a paper. And we've seen it a lot. Worldwide, but in the region especially.
Like what?
Like there are a few buildings, yeah, around the city that have like gold or platinum LEED certificate, which is like green credentials. Mm-hmm. And all everybody's talking, you know, about how that building is super sustainable. But then when people are too cold, they open the window so the hot air comes in, you know, with the AC, or the other way around. Yeah. Or, you know, they have solar panels, but then one day they're not functioning well and they don't really fix them. Lots of things.
Yeah.
Or they have all the lights on.
What's
the point of having a sustainable building if people don't use it in a sustainable way? So that's why we believe that education is super important. And in all the activities we do at Companies for Good, it's all about sharing with people the kind of things that they can do, what the issues, what the challenges are, but also giving them opportunities to do something about it.
Okay. So you worked in a corporate company and then what happened?
So then what happened is that I got a bit bored. I always been an entrepreneur. Already created first business when I was 18.
What was that? Home.
It was a nightclub.
Nightclub?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, with a few friends.
Sustainability nightclub?
It was early days.
Yeah,
I was still young.
Nice.
Now, you know, my grandfather was a businessman and I was always like going with him to places and learning from him. So while I was a teenager, my goal was to be rich.
So that's in Barcelona?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My goal was to make money and be rich.
Okay,
that was the objective. And then I set up my own business. I was running it for a while, the nightclub, and I realized I was not happy. Mm. I was making money, but I wasn't happy. I was missing something. And that's when I kind of decided to do something else in life. I realized that I wouldn't be fulfilled if I just was seeking money.
This is going to be rich.
Yeah. And so that's when I like changed my studies. And I was doing business first, but then I did business ethics to bring that angle. And then I jumped into the sustainability world because I realized that, you know, only by creating some kind of social value, by giving back, I was going to be more fulfilled, more happy.
Yeah, so you're telling me you are 18, you're running club, you're making money, and it happened a switch that is not for you?
Yeah, I realized that being rich didn't mean just having money.
Yeah.
Of course, money is good and gives you, you know, nice. Lots of things, but just that was not really enough. And that's why kind of I switched to the other.
That's nice that the realization came very early.
Luckily, yes. Yeah.
All right. And then fast forward, Companies for Good.
Companies for Good. Social enterprise. I founded it in 2017. And the whole idea was to give businesses the opportunity to involve their employees into doing good. Mm-hmm. I realized in Dubai, in the UAE, there were lots of companies with lots of people. They wanted to give back to society. They wanted to protect the environment, but they didn't know how to do it, or they didn't have the time to organize activities. And so Companies for Good makes it super easy for businesses.
You registered company what, as a event planning? Like your structure company is like you're planning events.
We are an LLC, and the actual category, I think it's like consulting.
No, quick consult, yeah.
Yeah, but because there is not yet the license of social enterprise here. And by social enterprise, I mean that our business is based on making a positive impact. Mm-hmm. So in the UAE, they've been talking for a while about creating that type of license, and it's going to come soon.
Okay.
But until now, it's either charity or businesses. Mm-hmm. But the in-between, we have to create it.
Definitely, yeah. Something should come. That's interesting. I didn't know this, yeah? So you have to look in between and then... But you're communicating everything and directing your company or a social enterprise company.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. So how was the beginning? Like, talk with me like first client or something.
So the beginning was like anything you create at the beginning was tough. Our first client was DHL Express in September 2017. When they called me to confirm the activity, I was like, I couldn't believe.
But how did you got them?
So the first thing I did was to create a website made by myself, and I never done a website before.
WordPress?
So it was Wix.
Okay, Wix,
yes.
Yeah.
Even easier than WordPress.
Yeah, exactly.
With, you know, a logo created by a friend. You know, how everything starts. Very, very simple. We put it out there, and we started, like, promoting it.
But you knew what you, like... You
we had two activities at that point. Yeah, we had tree planting and beach cleanup. That was the two things we were offering.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were quite lucky because there was the need in the market. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, for instance, we never done business development. We never called anybody. We never approached anybody for offering our activities.
Till now.
Yeah. We just basically, we have done marketing, of course, in terms of, you know, search engine optimization of the...
So specific keywords, let's say.
Yeah.
What kind of?
I mean, if you Google like beach cleanup tree planting, we are pretty much on top.
Okay.
But what we believe is that when you go to people to offer something, especially if it's so specific, right? Like a beach cleanup, not everybody is like walking around home waiting to be offered a beach cleanup, right? But when you want it, you go to Google. And so that's been our main focus, that when people go to Google, they find us. Mm-hmm. But it's been always like that. Like, we're receiving like 10, 12, 15 requests on a daily basis from companies, mainly in the UAE, that they want to do exactly this. They want to involve their people into doing good. They don't know how. And we just give them a variety of options. They choose. And they tell us the date and the number of people, and we just do the rest.
Yeah. And who's usually approaching you? Because obviously this is not CEO is who's looking for that. Who's most of the time approaching you?
You would be surprised, actually. Yeah, many CEOs look for it, but it's not the CEO that writes that directly. But normally they ask their, you know, PA or their office manager. So we have a lot of office managers approaching us. We have a lot of HR and a lot of comms marketing. Mm-hmm. These are the main roles.
Yeah, because I found this PDF presentation. Well, I didn't find you, like, it's on the website, and it was interesting, really nice. I was like amazed, like. You did a part where, like, I think how to communicate with your boss.
How to convince your boss.
How to convince your boss, you know. Yes. If your boss cares about, I don't know, maybe you can explain more. But that makes sense, yeah? Because once, let's say, marketing or office manager lock or got the contact, he needs to get approval from the boss. And the
correct.
Yeah?
Correct. So, for instance, going in that direction, when I started Companies for Good, my goal was that people could book the activities directly on the website.
Mm.
Yeah, I wanted to create it more like as a...
Like online.
Yeah.
Yeah, book online.
Yeah, and everything like automatized. And I had on the website a calendar with availabilities and you could click, book. Do you know how many bookings we got through the website?
None. Zero.
Zero.
Why?
Zero. After spending like all the money into the... Like,
to
the
build
whole,
the system,
like,
yeah.
Zero. Why? Because first of all, we are B2B. Mm-hmm. Right? And normally B2B is not like somebody who goes to a website and buys. You go to a website, you find information, but then you need like an official quote and, you know, you have a meeting. Then the person receiving the quote presents it to either finance or to the manager to for approval, what you were saying. So we realized the process is completely different. And we removed that and now we're working in a completely different way. But we also realized this, that sometimes the person who really wants to do that activity needs approval and therefore needs arguments on why that is important. Mm. Because nowadays, people know that these activities are very important for a variety of reasons that we can discuss in a second. But a few years ago, it was a bit less common and it needed a little bit more kind of elaborating on why it was important to do a beach cleanup with your team or to make toys for refugee kids. And so that's why we created that website, to make it easier for the person who wanted to do it with their team to get that approval.
But you mentioned that you guys, well, you failed a little bit on creating a system or, and like developing everything, expecting that everybody going to book online, and nobody did that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a kind of a failure. Anything else to share, let's say, from your learning curve?
Lots of things to share and lots of failures, yes. So this is one of them, the approach. But another one is, I thought as well at the beginning that we had to do loads of different things in order to...
Activities, you mean?
No, not activities. Like other things beyond the activities in order to survive as a social enterprise and to be out there. So for instance, like trainings, sustainability reporting, sustainability strategy, workshops, certifications. So they're like within the sustainability space, they are like, I don't know, 100 things that you can do, right?
Different things that you can charge?
Yeah, different things that you can charge because, of course, at the beginning, maybe we were doing like 3, 4, 5 activities a month, right? So that wasn't enough. So my thinking was like diversify, so the more things you do, but that was a failure. Because, because at least in my experience, when you try to do too many things, you're not good at any of them. And you're not specialized into something.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't really know what you are good at or why they should hire you.
Yeah.
And we spent about like a year trying to diversify and failing at every single attempt. Because if we're not good or not known at doing training, who would hire us at doing training? And yet we were spending a lot of energy into that or other things.
Yeah, okay.
When we realized that we were good at doing team activities and that's what most people knew us for, and we focused on that, is when we really kind of took off.
Yeah, well, good old rule, sharp focus.
Yeah, yeah. It helped us. It helped us a lot.
Should we talk about, well, COP28 as well? I mean, it's
it's
a big thing right now. It's in the corner. How does it, I don't know, impacting your business? Or how do you see that, how the corporates reacting to it?
So this year, it's all about sustainability. Sheikh Mohammed kind of declared this year as the year of sustainability.
Yeah.
And we have COP28 around the
corner.
You
were clapping your hands when you heard that announcement.
Yes. Yes, but most importantly, because the country needs it, the world needs it. Like if I'm working on sustainability for so many years, it's because I truly believe that unless we are a more sustainable society, we are doomed in many different ways. And I have a kid now and I don't want my kid to, you know, open the tap and have no water or to be breathing like awful air. So that I do think it's super important for the country to have that focus. I'm a bit skeptical, to be honest, because it's number 28.
Yeah.
That means that there have been...
28 times already, yeah.
There have been many kind of COPs that ended up not being as successful as we wanted it to be. Basically, you know, it's lots of politicians and businesses sitting down and trying to reach agreements, but all of them with different agendas. So it's very, very difficult. It's important that we do this exercise, but from my side, I would definitely would like people to put aside their personal interest a bit more and focus more on the common interest, which is the well-being of the planet and the people that live in it.
Mm-hmm. And what does it mean for the corporates, let's say COP28? How does it change now? Did you notice any change?
I've noticed a lot of change, at least in putting sustainability right on top of the agenda. Mm-hmm. The biggest companies here in the UAE are now having panel sessions or meetings among themselves, like the top banks, the top retailers, the technology. Like I keep seeing on LinkedIn, like every other day they have a meeting here and there. So it's good.
Yeah.
I mean, for now there's a lot of talk. Then it needs to be obviously translated into action.
Exactly.
But it starts with that. It starts with making the commitment, talking about it, learning from each other. So this is happening. There is a lot of kind of hype in terms of having chief sustainability officers.
As a position.
Yeah. I keep seeing positions all the time. Like all the companies need a chief sustainability officer, which is good. It means that you're putting sustainability at the board level, which is super important. And it has been that way in the UK or America for a few years now. But here it was more like a separate department. You know, let's do some good a little bit like after making money. Yeah. But now that little department is growing and being integrated.
And have a vote in the board.
So in that sense, it's really good. It's really good. But again, is it going to be like just a lot of talk and then after COP28, everybody will look the other way around? Or it's going to be real?
Yeah.
And I hope the latter.
Okay. And why do you think corporate is doing that? Is it trend, vibe? Is it actual people now like want to do it? Or is it just the corporate had this to do a tick? What do you think?
I would say it's a combination of things.
Yeah.
A few years ago, it was more a tick than it is now. Now it's more like you have to.
Yeah, okay.
So, and companies know that if they don't embark on the sustainability journey, they will be left behind.
Why?
For many reasons. One is for legal reasons. The laws keep being more and more demanding with companies in terms of they need to report the non-financial performance. Very soon there will be like taxes on carbon credits. It's been talked for a long time, but it's coming for sure. They also have peer pressure. Mm-hmm. So as I was mentioning at the beginning, that Chahub, we developed that supply chain questionnaire for our suppliers. Now, most companies are asking their suppliers to demonstrate their sustainable credentials.
Okay. So, I mean, if you're not doing activities, you can maybe not win the contract?
Yeah, you could lose a contract, definitely. Yeah, okay. With the government already, there's a lot of... You get points.
Yeah.
Not only the sustainability activities, but also like if you're measuring your carbon footprint, if you're recycling, lots of things.
Is it enough to do ticks? Or how do you actually prove? Or is anybody checking?
Yeah. Yeah, there are lots of certificates and a lot of... consulting firms, and there's a lot like to do a proper sustainability report, you cannot just like make it up.
Okay.
Yeah. So one part is because you have to, but also more businesses are realizing how sustainability benefits them in many ways.
Yeah.
In many ways. One is the people side of it. You attract talent if you are seen as a good, reputable company, and the other way around, if you are seen as a bad company, nobody wants to work with you. You can reduce a lot of costs if you do things well.
You mean you not only spend, you can save?
You can save a lot. But I'm talking about millions.
Mm-hmm.
We did one thing.
It's actually proved and
measured. I've done it myself when I was at Chahub. One thing that we did, and look how simple this is. People were printing a lot and leaving their papers on the printer.
Okay.
They forgot, you know, you print something and then everything... So we did a campaign to raise awareness about the amount of paper we were wasting. It was millions, by the way, millions of dirhams of paper a year.
Printed and left.
Bought, like the paper.
Okay, yeah.
And so millions into buying the paper and millions into the ink and the electricity for the printers. Yeah. So we did a campaign to raise awareness about that. And we introduced a system in which when you press print, you had to go to the printer, put your employee code, and then it would print.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't go automatically.
Okay.
We reduced 70%. but the combination was a reduction of the amount of paper bought and ink used by 70%. This is massive on a company of 12,000 employees. Yeah. It's a lot of money.
Okay.
And it cost almost nothing to implement. And like that, you can have like lots of examples.
So all these kind of activities or strategies counts as CSR activity or implementation, let's say.
Sustainability,
yeah.
I would say.
Okay.
CSR, I mean, it depends. There are so many like definitions. But CSR, normally it's more about companies going out there, not looking internally at what they do, but more like how do you give back either to the community that you live in or...
External, not internal.
More,
yeah.
Yes, yeah. In general terms, yeah.
Okay.
So that's what difference. We do, actually. There are other people, other consulting firms or other organizations that they help businesses internally.
Optimize,
be more sustainable, report, calculate, install solar panels. Mm-hmm. But that's not at Companies for Good. That's not what we do. Others are better at it.
Yeah.
What we do is for the external. When you want to go out and create an impact, we help you do it the best way, in a way that motivates people and that creates that real impact.
If you would say in one sentence, are you the CSR or sustainability company that you... pushing the narrative, let's say.
Okay, when it comes to definition of
maybe let's
ESG,
set up definition.
Sustainability, CSR, everybody has a different concept, and depending on which country you go, it might be different. If you ask me, sustainability is here, is at the top.
Okay.
Okay, sustainability is making sure that whatever you do, it's done in a way that is sustainable, which means, you know, over time you can continue doing it. And for me, that's critical. And then there are lots of verticals under it. One of them is CSR.
Okay.
That is, you know.
And do you know what, let's say, is there any leading countries, let's say, in sustainability? Where is UAE and where is amongst the other world?
Yeah. So UAE is leading in the GCC area.
That's for sure.
Yeah. But in terms of what are the most sustainable countries, by far Scandinavian countries.
Scandinavian.
Yeah.
So what, like Sweden, Norway?
Yeah, Sweden, Norway, Finland. Society, they're very different the way they behave from what I've seen. They really think about the well-being of the wider community and not so much about me as an individual.
Since we're talking about sustainability and everything, I want to touch that topic as well. Like different side of activities and sustainability, we let's say call the greenwashing, you know. How do you recognize that? Do you see that? What's your thought on this?
Yeah, there is a lot of greenwashing.
In the region?
Everywhere in the world.
Okay.
In the world. There's been a lot of greenwashing over the past years, and the more that sustainability is on the agenda and is important, the more greenwashing there is.
Well, let's talk about the region.
So, yeah, it's a complicated topic because you have lots of people that want to do or be seen as sustainable just for marketing purposes or to just tick the box and they don't really believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also very difficult to kind of prevent it, and also it might not be good to prevent it. Let me explain you why. We talk a lot about companies. That company is good, that company is bad. But when we talk about the company, we're just talking about the name, a legal entity.
Yeah.
A company is nothing. What is something is like the people behind it. Yeah, a company is people at the end of the day. People working together
who
towards a common goal. So you might say that company is doing greenwashing because they have this advert, this and that. Maybe, yes, that advert or that person who created that message was doing greenwashing. But what about the 10,000 people that work at the company? You know, maybe they have really good intentions. Maybe they are trying to live a very sustainable life and they want that company to be more sustainable. So it would be unfair to...
To put under one
yes,
umbrella. Okay, you're
correct.
Bad.
To exactly. And I do believe that, for instance, the person who is doing... Let's imagine that we're doing like a tree planting event and the person who's hired us, it was for a greenwashing purpose. Fine. Very often when they come and they experience it, they leave with a different impression. The fact that they planted the tree, like they connected with nature, they learn about sustainability and how important that tree will be for offsetting CO2 and being shelter for animals.
They actually
see
did
the animals.
Something good.
Yeah, they change. Like, obviously not overnight, but even though they came with different intentions, they live as a different person. And if they do 3 or 4, maybe, you know, after a while, they will be doing out of passion and the greenwashing will be gone.
Okay.
That's how we want to do things. We don't believe in telling people what to do. Or we don't believe in criticizing or saying, like, this is good, this is bad. This is not for us to say. For we want to give people the opportunity to experience things, and they can decide by themselves.
Okay. So sustainability or CSR, is it only for big corporates? For example, let's say we are also a startup, and like everybody's saying, there is a three P's, you know, profit, people, planet.
Yeah.
But when you're small, I think your first goal is to survive. Like you even said in the beginning, your goal is to like how to, you know, make a profit. You start looking at the different activities, what you can do. You're not maybe prioritizing to focus on people on the planet itself.
Correct.
So what do you think? Is it, should the small companies as well, should do look at it?
Well, the obvious answer is yes, as you said. Everybody needs to do something. Yeah. Everybody needs to do something. However, of course, the bigger you are as an organization, the more responsibility you have and the larger your impact. A small change in a big company can have like a massive impact. Small change in a small company will be smaller. But it doesn't mean it cannot be done. And sometimes there are lots of things that individuals, small companies can do that don't have any cost. Mm-hmm. Or the opposite, it could help you save costs.
All right, let's say our example. We're a small team,
yeah,
five of us. Can we do something with you? Like, do you offering services for the companies like us? Or what can we do?
Yeah. So on the standard activities, no. Because we work, well, I mean, you can come anytime, but probably like our price will be a bit higher for us, yeah, for a small company.
To set up.
But from time to time, we have events that we invite the wider community. This program that we have with the government that we're planting the mangrove trees, the ones that were, you know, the 10,000 that were featured in the ND51, we are planting them now with the community. And we made a call to the wider community and we said, you know, join us. Mm-hmm. We have a website, you can register and everybody can come.
Any company.
So I'm inviting you guys to come to plant trees with us. Probably choose after the summer.
When? After summer, yeah.
we're doing one this afternoon, yeah. But yeah.
That will be tough.
It will be hot.
Kudos to the company that chose to do that.
But we will have a few like September, October, November. So any of those, you can join, you can come, and
yeah,
it's paid by the government. So.
Okay, so it's free for us.
It's free for you.
Paid by government.
Yeah.
We like these things.
Yeah.
We like when things paid by government.
Opportunities are there. No, and there are organizations that are doing cleanup events. For free, everybody can join. You guys can go to the cleanup anytime you want.
What can we do then? Then should we like put all our Instagram stories that we've been here, or
it's up to you.
Yeah.
Why not?
Encourage.
I think it's fine if people show on social media or in any corporate communications that they've done something, even if they're like, you know, like a bit so good.
Yeah.
They're raising awareness as well.
So you think it is still.
As long as
there is no bad marketing with that.
No. For me, what's horrible is when you advertise something you haven't done. Mm. Don't say you have, you know, clean up a beach if you didn't show up.
You took one picture and then back to the car.
But if you've been an hour cleaning and then you take a selfie with all the stuff you clean and yeah, then, you know, you raise awareness, you know, guys, like 1 hour and I clean like 10 kilos of trash, we need to do something about it. Why not? Mm. It's spreading the message.
Okay. And From let's say your company, what did you do, the smallest scale and the biggest scale?
In terms of activities?
Yeah.
So the smallest one are like cleanup or tree planting events with 5 or 6 people.
Okay. So corporate books, them. 5, 6 people,
yeah,
organizing for them.
Sometimes they have like a selected group that comes from abroad or a group of graduates that are starting to the company. They want them to know,
get on board,
know each other, and rather than,
all right,
putting people in a room and saying, get to know each other, they do an activity. Big ones, the biggest one we've done is 1,600 people. A company called Trend Micro, and they came from all over the world. All the sales kickoff team, there are thousands of employees. They came to Dubai, and as part of the 3-day offsite, they wanted to do some good. So we organized a massive activity like in a hotel in the whole
booked out all the hotels.
Yeah, it was the whole hotel was booked for them.
Booked all the buses.
Yeah, and it's a massive hotel. Imagine. Yeah.
So you arrange all these things.
Yeah, yeah.
From A to Z.
Yeah.
Okay. And let's say, can you give me a ranges? Like how much? 5 of us we planning to do, or any corporate things to do? How much they can expect to spend for that?
Yes. So all our activities start at like 4,000 or 5,000 dirhams, regardless of the group size.
Yeah.
This is for us to plan it, and for us to pay our partners. Because the way we work is that all our activities are organized by our partners. Yeah, we have like maybe like 25 or 30 different activities, and we have 25, 30 different partners, and they are specialists on what they do.
Specific activity, you mean?
Yeah, so to plant mangrove trees, we have a special company that knows a lot about mangroves, okay. But also they have the nursery for the mangroves, and they have the kayaks to go through the mangroves, so we partner with them. To make toys for refugee kids, we partner with another organization that they have the connections with the refugee camps. So if we tried to do it ourselves, we would not be able to cater for so many different companies.
Yeah.
So our model is that we create all these activities with all the partners, and then companies come to us and we organize it for them with our partners.
Facilitate as well.
Yeah. So it starts from 4,000 or 5,000 dirhams, and then it grows depending on group size. Yeah.
Unlimited.
If you have like obviously
unlimited.
1,600 people is a bit more than 4,000 or 5,000 dirhams.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay. So to wrap it up, last question kind of, so what's next? What's the future for Companies for Good?
It's a very good question. And we don't have a plan.
That's a good thing or bad?
I don't know. I'm going to tell you why. Before starting Companies for Good, I was creating another company. And I spent a lot of time, like 7 or 8 months, working every day on all the details of that company. The business plan and the market research and this and that and expansion. When I launched into the market, it was too late.
What was that?
It was completely random. Eh? It was selling bus tickets in South America.
From here, from UAE?
From, yeah, well, it was an online platform.
But you were based here?
Before coming here, I was in South America.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I was traveling around South America.
Bus ticket. Club, bus ticket. And
yeah, I know, random. But before coming here, I was traveling around South America. I realized that many people were traveling by bus, but they still were selling the tickets the very old way. You had to go to the bus station.
Okay.
And if you don't speak Spanish, good luck with that. So I wanted to create an online platform that you could buy and sell bus tickets, like you buy and sell, you buy flight tickets, yeah, the same. Anyways, the point is I spent a lot of time planning, and when I launched, it was already too late. There were others that had launched before. I had moved from South America and I was already here, which made it more complicated, so it didn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Then I decided with Companies for Good to do absolutely the opposite. So before having anything, I launched.
Okay.
And then after 2 or 3 years of running Companies for Good, we're doing well, it was going all right. I was like, okay, it's time to do a proper plan.
Optimizing.
What is this way of doing business that you don't have, you know, a forecast, you don't have a budget, like just going with the flow.
Exactly.
This is not professional. So I sat down, I spent a few hours like making the plan for next year, this and that. Guess what? COVID came.
Yeah, exactly.
The whole plan was destroyed, right? So lesson learned, like why would you plan if you don't have control over the events?
So it sounds that whenever you make a plan, it goes bad.
Exactly. So I don't make plans. Yeah. I go with the flow.
Okay.
And as I was telling you, we've been very lucky. We're growing a lot after COVID and because of the whole companies putting sustainability in their agendas. Every year we are doubling the amount of activities that we're doing. So it's fantastic. We're doing well. We're happy. We're making an amazing impact on the environment, the communities we help.
Yeah.
We help like more than 30,000 people already in many different ways. We planted 25,000 trees. You know, it's big things that we managed to achieve over the past 5-6 years. And we're doing well and we're growing the team. So let's go with the flow.
Okay.
That's our plan for the future. To continue doing good.
Grow.
Grow, but always like adapting to the circumstances.
Yeah.
To whatever it's needed.
Okay, if it works, it works. Don't make a plan because you're gonna
make
it worse again.
Jinx it.
All right. Thanks a lot for sharing all this information.
You're most welcome.
Yeah, nice talking with you. Thanks a lot.
Likewise.
Cheers. Another episode is done. Super happy. I really do enjoy doing it. It was interesting to see a lot of people, grown-ups, or doing little craft things that and it brings the joy. And it's also good to know that all these penguins and the toys that the corporate's making it gonna end up with a good cause. I do learn something and I'm gonna apply in my business, in my daily life, in my activities. So I hope you guys as well learn something or you get inspiration or you get some idea that you could think about, oh, I could apply as well. Mark is a great person. He shared a lot, gave us tips. I like honest conversation, and that's what we're trying to join the brands, our episode up, talk, share experience, to share a history and path, how did they came to this point whenever they're running a successful company. So let me know, guys, as well, what kind of activities you do to participate in sustainability cause, either small or either big company. Definitely today we're going to think as well, and maybe you're going to join one of the companies for good activities, government paid for now. And yeah, looking forward. Please recommend what else we should interview, what else we should talk with, or what kind of questions we should ask. Maybe we go deeper. What is nice on the surface is just a general introduction about the company. So thanks a lot, and we're done for today. Let's move.